Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the church for truth seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at www.ccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Goodness, I enjoyed that. Oh my goodness, y'all know that I'm just musical. I've been doing this. Oh, I love it. And the beautiful thing about it is that y'all see that brother over there. I was about to say that bald redhead brother, Myron McKinley. I've been knowing him for over 20, almost 25 years. We were in college, and he is just phenomenal. That's how I met Laval. Myron is the one that did the Make It Loud single for us, and the Closer I Get single for us. So give him a hand. He's incredible. I love him. He's my brother. Hallelujah. And so Yahweh is just so wonderful. After 27 years, we came back together, and we were able to work together on that project. And I'm just so thankful. The networking that us brothers have been doing, that's how I met Lamal, and going. He is an anointed brother. I just got to tell y'all, just thank him one more time. Just that right there. Incredible. Incredible. I used to play like that one day, but wait. Thank you. Not quite like that. Hallelujah. But really quickly, it's a wonderful holiday weekend. I don't want to keep you too long. But I'm just so thankful to have this opportunity to share with my friends and also to share with you what we started last week. He gave us a new subject, and so we want to lightly touch on that with some of the remainder time that we have. It's a subject that he's been really dealing with me to share for quite some time now. But a lot of times we have to develop the understanding of what it is that we're sharing in every way that Yahweh wants us to show it to us, because us as ministers of the gospel, we have to have a clear insight on what we share so that we can make it clear to you. Amen? And it's just something that's extremely important. Last week we opened up a series called Hunger for Holiness, meaning that if we talk about being hungry, it's something that we gotta have, we need, we desire it, we crave it. And dude, I mean, that's the way I speak. There's just a lot of stuff that in the world that we've craved. I mean, we all have something that what? We've craved, you know? Even food is a bad thing to crave too much, because it does something to you. It makes it so that you can't get into the stuff that you had bought, right? And so I'm a chocoholic, and I'm trying to recover. But I know one thing about it. I know it's something that I feel like at times I gotta happen. And maybe you like strawberries, or maybe, you know, you like something else. Maybe you like money. It's something that what? You gotta have. And so we find ourselves craving things. But my question that I presented to the church was, are we craving the things of Yahweh? Are we hungry for those things, right? Because the Bible tells us we should be. So is that unreasonable? Because a lot of people believe, if we're talking about holiness, a lot of people would tell you that it's an impossibility. It's unreasonable for God to believe that, you know, we can do this. And so that's what we delve into. So I'm trying to answer the questions of the church. Is this something that we can do? Is this reasonable? And so we talked about, we went scripture, because I don't believe in giving you one scripture and then that's it. We went through scripture after scripture after scripture about the nature of Yahweh, the nature of Yahweh. And we found out that he's holy. Because scripture is, he is holy. He is holy. Lord of hosts, he is what? Holy. And so we talked about that. And in this day and age, when we talk about the church, there seems to be a lack of holiness because we don't believe, and or we've been told that we can't do it. What are some of the cop-outs we use? I'm not perfect. That's God. You know, I'm just a human. I'm just man or woman. Failing to realize that he gave us some superhuman, supernatural gifts that enable us to be able to do what he says we can do. And so we talked about that. Another cop-out was that, oh, he loves us. He loves us. He's gracious. He's merciful. Yeah, he's all those things. But if you are considered his children, he has an expectation of you, especially if he's given you something. He's expecting you to use it, to walk in it, to operate in it. So you can't act like he never gave you something special. And that's what we as human beings, as believers, we tend to do. And so we got to understand this. Turn to 1 Peter. For you Hebrew scholars, you know we love to use the names. First Kepha, 1 Peter, the first chapter. And so the beautiful thing about it is that without a shadow of a doubt, we know that the God that we serve is holy. We know this. It's just like we know that water is wet. We know that he's holy. And so we went, like I said, after scripture, scripture. But he threw us a couple of curveballs. Because he was saying that he was holy. But we find in 1 Peter that he said he added something on to that. So if you read 1 Peter, the first chapter, you got it? Okay. The first chapter, the 15th verse. All right? We've already established that he's holy. Holy is his nature. Holy is who he is. But then 1 Peter, the first chapter, the 15th verse, read with me, says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am. So what? I understand you holy, but now you're tying that to me. Be ye, he's talking about the believer. So not only is the believer supposed to, he's supposed to be holy, the God that we serve, but he's saying that the believer has the responsibility to what? Be holy. Be holy on Sunday? You know how we do. We feel like we put on this stuff and we come to church and this is our holy day. Sunday is the day for me to be holy. So y'all say, I'm not going to listen to no crazy music. I'm gonna do as right as I can. But Monday, it's on and cracking. Right? Well, that's a conditional holiness. But he's expecting from what I see here, be holding in all manner of conversation. Y'all think that conversation is just you talking. No, the interpretation of conversation from the Hebrew is your lifestyle. In everything that you do in your lifestyle, you have a responsibility, according to the word, to be what? Holy. And you might say, why? And he gave you an answer. Because it is written. Meaning it is his word. It's something that he said. It's something that he has endorsed. For it is written, be ye what? Holy, because I am holy. So we have a God, Yahweh, who's telling us that we need to be holy. Yet we're confronted with the stuff that we hear in the world that is an impossibility. We can't do it. We're human. So therefore, if he says we can do it, and we have convinced ourselves that we can't, then who's lying? Well, we looked up. Because some of us, we act like God is lying. Yahweh is lying to us. Because if we're telling ourselves that we can't do it, and he's telling us that we can, if we continue to walk in us believing that we can't do it, then we're saying that his word is not true. Thus, we're saying something that is not true is a lie. Therefore, if you put it together, God is lying. You're saying that by the way you are acting it out. Because you're saying it's impossible. I can't do it. But he says we can. So then we looked at Hebrews, Ibrahim, the sixth chapter. Let's go there. I mean, you know, I was trying to give you a recap, but maybe it's important that we reiterate that. Hebrews, the sixth chapter, or the Hebrew name for Hebrews is Ibrahim. Here at Christian Community Center, we're called the Church for Truth Seekers. We love to delve in deeper. We just got to go deeper. It's deeper than the surface. There's more stuff there. And that's what we do. We get into the stuff. And so if you have the sixth chapter, the 17th verse, if you read it with me. Wherein, you got it? Wherein, Yahweh, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. Who are the heirs of promise? You are. You're the heirs. You're his children, right? To the heirs of promise, the immutability. And we found out the immutability was the unchangeability. You can't change it. Of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. He made an oath. And he said, by two immutable things, one of which it is impossible for Yahweh. Okay. So people, since it is impossible for Yahweh to lie, and he said that we can be holy as he is holy, then he is not the liar. If you believe that you can't do it, you're the liar. Because we know God can't lie. And if I went to another scripture, it says that Yahweh is not a man that he should lie. Well, what is he saying? Mankind, by their very nature, are liars. You have, tell your neighbor, you can be a liar if you want to. You can. You have the ability to lie. But the God that I serve, he cannot lie. So the stuff that he tells me, I got to believe is true. Now the stuff we tell each other, that's suspect. Why? Because we're humans. We can lie. You know, it's not beneath us to lie. Some of y'all lie today. What? We do. We lie to each other. And y'all say, it's a white lie. Because it's small. So what do you call a big one? You call it a black lie? It's all lies. Whether it's a little white one or a big black one. It's still considered. do that? We even lie to ourselves. So if we can lie to ourselves, surely it's not a stretch for us to lie to somebody else. Okay? But we found out that our God does not have that nature, okay? And so we established his nature is holy, and he expects that from us. But he also provides the tools for us to be able to be holy. When you became saved, he gave you some stuff. We're going to talk about that. Romans, let's go to Romans really quickly, the sixth chapter. And it was beautiful because we found out that he's provided us with some tools that we can go beyond the veil. There's no separation between us and God anymore. We can go right to him. But we got to be a certain way to be able to do that, right? And so we're going to get into, and I was telling you guys that we have a Bible study entitled Working Your Faith. Listen, I'm encouraging you guys, if you want to know the ins and outs of really how to live a holy life, you need to come to Bible study, because we're working on working your faith. It's called working your faith. Because to be able to be holy, you got to do it by faith. And to be able to do it by faith, you need to know how to work your faith. Not you be trying to work everybody else's faith. You can't work everybody else's faith. You got to work your faith. And so I'm encouraging you Wednesday nights to check that out, because then you'll be able to put this together. But we're doing some crossover as we lay this foundation. In Romans 6 chapter and the 18th verse. Let's do that. Okay. Something is being done. I want you to understand this. With every action, there is a reaction. It's a law of physics. It's a law of nature. An action causes another action. Sometimes it's an act, something is acting on an object, and then there's a reaction that comes from that. So in anything that you do, there's going to be an exchange. There's some work being done by somebody, and then somebody else may be doing another work. Keep that in mind as we read. Okay, so Romans, the 6th chapter, the 18th verse says, being then made free from sin, we became the... Okay, now, being then made free from sin. Okay, that is a work that we don't have the ability to do. We can't make ourselves free from sin. It was a work that was much higher than us that had to take place. We need to, before we start debating what we can do and what we can't do and what Yahweh can do and what he can't do, we need to start understanding who's supposed to be doing what. Now, it's impossible for you to be made to make yourself free from sin. You can't do that. So if you're saying that that's not possible, you're right. But it's not your job. Saints, you need to learn how to start staying in your lane. There's some stuff that Yahweh does, and there's other stuff that you do. And sometimes he's telling y'all what to do, and y'all end up trying to do what he does. And it's not your job. Tell your neighbor, stay in your lane. Okay. Okay. So if you're trying to make yourself free from sin, you can't do it. You have to be made free from sin. So when you were made free from sin, something happened. And what is that? You became servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. So it's saying that our flesh is weak. So we can't do it on our own, right? And it says, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness. So before you came to salvation, you were in sin. That was your nature. And you, as I said last week, you yielded your members to sin. You walked to the Snooty Fox. You drove there. Your feet pushed the pedal. You went to the Mustang. Is it still there? Is it still there? I don't know. Oh, somebody said, yes, yeah, still there. I hope it's because you just drove by. So you had to will to do. So you told your members, who are your members? Your arms, your legs, your everything, your eyes, your flesh was involved in that process. And so when it says you yielded your members, so anything that you do, you're doing with your members. Any sin that you indulge yourself in, you use what? You reaching for stuff? You grabbing stuff? You saying stuff? You driving somewhere? Right? So when you were under that old law of uncleanness and unrighteousness, you yielded yourself to that, right? And it says, 19th verse, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness, your arms and your legs were subject to you telling it what to do. So they were your servants. And you yielded them to unrighteousness, to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity. Even so now that you've been transformed, you should yield your members as what? Servants to what? Righteousness. So something has changed. And we're going to find out what that something is. Righteousness unto holiness. 20th verse. So when ye were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? How many of us are ashamed of some of the uncleanness that we found ourselves in some dirty situation, didn't we? I mean, we did some low-down stuff. Thank God. Thank Yahweh that is under the blood of Yeshua. Because that was some stuff, right? And so, somebody say you. So, what fruit had ye in those things? You were ashamed. For the end of those things is death. 22. But now, wait. We were doing stuff that led to death. But the scripture says, but now. Okay, people, that means something has happened. People, that means something has changed. Something's not the same. You say yourself, but now. Say it again, but now. Okay, but now, being made free from sin and become servants to Yahweh, you have your fruit unto holiness. And that end is what? Everlasting life. For the wages of sin is, but the gift of Yahweh is eternal through Yeshua Mashiach. So, check this out. Something has changed. We're not the same people that we used to be. We're not servants to uncleanness like we used to be. Now, we're servants to what? Righteousness. How can that be? What has happened? Let's go here. Go to 1 Thessalonians. When you come and say, Yahweh, I'm tired of living this life that I led. I acknowledge that Yeshua died for my sins. And I believe that he rose again. And I want him be in my life, take the throne of my life. I want to go down in the waters of baptism in his name. I want to come up transformed. I want to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in me. You thought that you just got wet, and you thought that you just were filled with his Spirit, but the evidence is speaking in tongues. But you don't understand what transformative work actually happened in you. It was more than you getting wet. They will say, chill your body, let it save yourself. Some people are so concerned about how cold the water is. So in that work, you were so concerned that the water was cold, you weren't necessarily paying attention to what he was really doing. He was doing something supernatural in your life, saints. He was doing something so transformative and so spiritual and so deep that you can't even comprehend. But that's why we got to talk about this, because it's important for you to know what kind of work he did. What did he do in you? What did he move? What kind of chains did he break? And when you know that, you become unstoppable. Who wants to be unstoppable? Okay. So you got to pay attention. Go to 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. Fourth chapter. Now, when we talk about holiness, moral goodness, how is that possible to walk in moral goodness when we live in such an immoral world? So many things going on in our lives, around us, at our jobs, some of us in our home. How is it possible for us to do this? And so we talked about, well, for us to be holy as he is holy, his nature is the nature of holiness, of power. So when he gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit, that was something that worked in us. Okay. So 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. Seventh verse says what? For Yahweh hath not called us unto uncleanness. Okay. So he called you. And you what? Answers. You said, I want you in my life. So why on earth would a God that called you to holiness want you to wallow in uncleanness and unholiness? It doesn't make sense. So he said he called you not to what? Sometimes it's important for us to understand what we've been called to understand what we have not been called to. We have not been called to uncleanness. But unto what? Eighth verse says what? He therefore that despises not man, but Yahweh, who has also given unto us. I got to break this down to you. When you say you can't do it, when you say that you don't have the tools to do it, you're not despising man. You're despising Yahweh. You're saying, I reject the things of you. Because when you let your flesh dictate what you can and can't do, then you're saying, Yahweh, you a lie? I despise you. And sometimes we got to be careful, because the more and more we get callous and say, I can't do it, then what is the next thing the enemy is going to say? Well, since you can't live a holy life, why are you wasting time going to church? And then once he gets you outside of church, he was like, well, since you can't go into church no more, why don't you get yourself involved in this? And why don't you just go ahead and, since you're getting involved in that, get involved in this? And since you're doing all those things, well, let's not stop here. Let's just let the good times roll and let's move about three or four other things. Can't you see the trick and the snare of the enemy? He wants to snatch you out of the city of refuge. But I'm here to tell you, you have the power to stand and not got snatched out. So when he says you can do it, don't despise that. Some of us get callous. I ain't going to that old church because they say that I have to live holy. Well, you're not rejecting Pastor Tom and what's being taught here. The apostle, you rejecting Yahweh. All we're doing, I'm just a mouthpiece. I'm just telling you what his word is. Now, if you want me to write a book and tell you what I want you to do, then therefore, if I'm trying to teach you that, you can reject that. Why? Because that's just old Tom. But what I'm sharing with you ain't coming out of my book. It's coming out of the gospel of Yeshua Mashiach. So don't reject that. Right? All right. So it says, but Yahweh, he has also given us something. So if we're thinking that it's impossible in the flesh, he's saying you can't do it in the flesh. I have to what? Give you something. So if I need you to be holy, I have given you my Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the same power that created the universe. The Holy Spirit is the same power that tread over serpents and scorpions. That same power today, right now, dwells in you as you sit in that seat right now. That same power. So you don't get it twisted. You got what you need. You got to just learn how to use it and let it manifest in your life. So you got to start believing that you can what? Do this. Okay, so what are the transformative works? Let's go into it. Romans, the 5th chapter, real quickly. Listen, from study, there are 4 powerful transformative works that took place in you when you were baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Mm. And some of us don't know what they are. And so we mix up what that work is with what we're supposed to be doing. Right? I'm telling you, these 4 things you cannot do. Say this. These 4 things I can't do. This is Yahweh's work. Okay. Understand that, because these things are impossible for you to do. So if you've been overwhelmed, oh, God, I can't do it. I can't be just. I can't be righteous, because that's not your job. This is something that he does. And we talked about this in Bible study. So those who attended Bible study, excuse me if I just want to bring this up and glory in it one more time. Is that okay? All right. All right. So Romans, the 5th chapter, the 8th verse says what? But Yahweh commended his love towards us. So he does love us. Let's get that straight. He does love us. But this is the things that he did in his love for us. In that, while we were yet sinners, Mashiach died for us. He took on all of our sins. And when we were yet sinners, he what? He died for us. Much more than. You mean there's something more better than that? There's something more than him dying for us? Being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to Yahweh by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by, So something happened. When we were saved and Yeshua died for our sins, we became justified. Justified means that we were declared something. We were certified something. We were identified something. So when you became saved, he justified you. Therefore, you are now called something. You're called the just right now. When he justified you, you became the just. You can't justify yourself. You can't certify yourself. You can't do it. But it's done by a couple of things. First thing is done by his blood. Do you all remember when the children of Israel were trying to get out of Egypt? And one of the last plagues that came over was that the firstborn were going to die. What did they do? Over the doorpost, they put the blood of the lamb. And when that death angel passed over he was trying to kill the folks in the houses. When he came up to a house that had the blood on the doorpost, this is what the death angel said. Those right there, they're justified. They're certified. They've been identified by the blood. I must pass over them and leave them alone. So, when you ask Yeshua to come into his life, in your life, by his blood, you were justified. By his blood, you were certified. So now the enemy, when he looks at you, he has to recognize that's certification. That's justification. I can't destroy them unless they let me. I have no power over them unless they give up the power through the blood of Yeshua. I ain't giving up nothing because I've been justified. I'm certified. So therefore, I am the just. I couldn't do that by myself. That is Yahweh's transformative work. So now, when you are washed by the blood of Yeshua, now you are being justified. By the blood, you're covered. Can't no demon in hell do nothing to you unless you invite him in. If you understand that you've been justified, you should walk like you justified. You should live like you're what? I have the blood of Yeshua covering me. Right? I can't do that. That's not what I do. I've been justified by him. But he justified me, certified me something. Let's go here. So tell yourself, I am the just. Okay, that's just one word. We got three more to go. And let's get them. Galatians. He justifies us. We become the just, the justified. Whose work is that? That's Yahweh's work. Tell yourself, that's not my work. That's his work. He justifies. Hallelujah. Okay. So that means I've been declared. All right. So let's go to Galatians, the third chapter, the 13th verse. Galatians 3:13. And what does it say? Messiah has redeemed us from the curse of the law, now being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Yeshua Mashiach, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So Mashiach did something. And what does it say in the 13th verse? He has what? Redeemed us. Okay, so when you have been redeemed, you become the redeemed. And what does redeem mean? You've been made free. So now, not only did he justify me and certified me, but he also redeemed me. So I can be called the redeemed. So now I'm two things. I'm justified and certified by his blood and his spirit. I am now free. Because being redeemed means I've been made free. So I've been certified. I've been made free. Two different things. So now I'm the just. I'm justified. Now I'm the redeemed. I've been redeemed. Number three, Romans 5. Can you redeem yourself? No! And if I want to get strong about it, no, I won't do. But the devil tries to tell you you're not redeemed. He tries to tell you that you're not free. Yahweh made you free. Through Yeshua Mashiach, you've been made free. So his blood has certified you, justified you, I've been redeemed, and now there's another word. Romans, the 5th chapter, 18th verse. Therefore, 5:18, you got it? It says therefore, right? Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation. That was Adam. Because Adam sinned, he what? He brought that on all of us. So therefore, by the defense of Adam, or one, what happened? Judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteous of one. Who was the righteous? Yeshua. The free gift came unto all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, something else has happened. So by the obedience of one shall many be made. So now you've been made righteous. What does righteous mean? Right standing. Now I'm upright. I can stand before him right. I've been cleansed. Therefore I am what? Righteous. Can I make myself righteous? He did that. So now he gives us right standing. We become the righteous. Say, I'm the righteous. Dude, that's some three powerful things. What am I first? I'm the just. Now I'm the, after that I'm the redeemed. After that I'm the what? I'm the righteous. He made me this because of the blood of Yeshua and me being filled with his spirit. I've been certified and declared these things. Oh, but he didn't stop right there, Sam. There's one more. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. You can't cleanse yourself. Let me say that again. You can't make yourself righteous. That's his work. Your cleanser ain't strong enough. And this is what I hate. I can say I hate it because I do hate it. Because it's a lie of the enemy. When people tell me, Pastor Tom, first, before I come to church, I'm going to get my life together. And once I get my life together, then I can come to church. You got it twisted. If that's how you're going to do it, you ain't never going to come. The only way you can get your life straight is to come to him first. Because you can't do the work that needs to be done in your life yourself. You need some supernatural help in your life. So people say that all the time. Oh, I'm going to clean up my life first. Your cleanser ain't strong enough. For you, it's going to take the blood of Yeshua Mashiach to cleanse you. And then once you do that, now you have a chance to get your life together. But you can't do it by yourself. So you got to let these transformative works take place in your life. Let him make you the just now. Let him justify you. Let him redeem you. Let him make you righteous. Fourth thing. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, the 9th verse, says what? Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom. Hold up. Wait a minute. That's not what people are telling me in the world. They're telling me that God is good. He loves me. So I can live any old kind of way. And he'll still take me in because he's good like that. He loved like that. But that's not what the scripture. I don't care what Granny told you. I don't care what Uncle Pete told you. I don't care what your friend, Bebe and them, told you. The only thing that stands is what Yahweh says in the Word. So that means I can't live any old ratchet, a putrid, crazy lifestyle and expect to make it into the kingdom. I can't do it. Right? But that's the lie that's being told out there. And we know where all lies come from. But I'm so thankful that I know where the truth comes from. Hallelujah. So it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. Be not deceived. But you guys know that there are people that's deceived, right? And then it gives us a list of a bunch of stuff that is unrighteous. Okay, so let's talk about that for a second. I could really break this down, but we're going to do that later. All right. So it says, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit. And you know what some people are doing now? Well, I don't know if I'm one of those. You know how people do? They try to find a loophole. Just like y'all trying to find out before your taxes are due in April, you're trying to find a loophole. What's a loophole? A way to escape. I'm here to tell you, there's no escape. The word is what the word is. So it goes on to say all these things, and it says they are not going to inherit the kingdom. But the 11th verse says what? And such were. Hold up. I know that y'all with some of this stuff, and you may be dabbling in some of this stuff now. But the Bible says that if you're dabbling in some of this stuff, it's considered unrighteous. Therefore, if you do those things, you're labeling yourself unrighteous, and you will not inherit the kingdom. Therefore, if you don't inherit the kingdom, you will not enter in to the kingdom. So when it says were, that's past tense. Because remember, he's working something in you. He's changed something in you. So whatever you were, you're no longer that anymore. Is anybody thankful that they're no longer what they were before? And it says, it doesn't say a few of you. It says what? Some of you were what? Were what? Were some of you. You guys were doing some of this stuff. But, there goes that but again. Ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of Yahushua by the Spirit of Yahweh. You were justified. You were what? Sanctified. You are washed. So, what is the thing that we haven't said you were yet? You're sanctified now. Because of what he did, he sanctified you. Sanctification means that you've been set apart for his use. Hold up. So now, I am the justified. I am the redeemed, I am the righteous, and I am the sanctified. Anybody all of that? That's a lot of stuff. I can't sanctify myself. I can't set myself apart for his use. He did that. So when you were baptized in the name of Yeshua, cleansed by his blood, filled with his Spirit, you became all four of those things. All four of those things. That was his work. He did it. Say he did it. Yahweh, you justified me. Say it. Yahweh, you redeemed me. Yahweh, you made me righteous. And Yahweh, you sanctified me. And I know who I am. I know who I am. That's who I am. what he did, and he made me that. So my goodness, how does the world know that I've been justified? How does the world know that I've been redeemed? How can the world know that I've been made righteous? How can the world know that I've been sanctified? He asked me to live a holy life. All those things are who you are. Holiness is how you live. How will the world know that a transformative work has taken place in me? When they see your holiness. When they see your walk. And they'll say, wow, that's what justification looks like. That's what righteousness looks like. That's what redeemed looks like. That's what sanctified looks like. Tell your neighbor, it looks like you. All you have to do is do your work. Now, I got to say this before I let you go. He did his work. And he's asking you to do your work. Is that too much to ask? So you got to understand, if you're trying to make yourself righteous, you can't do it. You got to acknowledge that you've already been made righteous. You're trying to justify yourself, you got to remember you've already been made justified. He did it. If you're trying to redeem yourself, he's the one that redeemed you. You're trying to sanctify yourself, you can't do it. He's the one that sanctified you. All he's saying is now you walk in holiness. See, he can't do that for you. That's a choice you make. So I liken it into this. All of us drive cars, right? Did you make the car? Did you build that car from the ground up? No, you don't. Why can't you do that? Because you don't have the kind of skills. You can't build that car. But oh, when you got the car, you were given the responsibility not to build the car, but to maintain the car, to take care of the car, to bring it in for its regular service. That's not the job of General Motors or Pontiac or Mercedes or Toyota in my case. That's my job. He's already worked the wondrous work in me. Now I got to take care of what he justified. Now I have to take care of what he redeemed. Now I have to take care of what he made righteous. Now I got to take care of what he sanctified. And the way I take care of that is adopting holiness as the way I live my life. I want to be holy because what? He is holy. So you have to acknowledge what your job is. A lot of times we try to pass the job on to somebody else. Your pastor can't make you holy. He can't make you walk in holiness. How can I walk in holiness? How can I live a lifestyle? First, you need to acknowledge that you've got the power to do so. Why do you have the power? Because he gave you the power. He gave it to you. And he's saying, now that I've done all this, I need you to what? Walk in it. You got to walk it out. So when the devil tries to tell you that you ain't none of that stuff, tell him he's a lie. And the truth is not in him. I am an overcomer through the blood of Yeshua and the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in me. Where the word has been made true, I can do all things through Messiah who strengthens me. There's nothing that I cannot do. By his Father Yahweh, we have to understand who we are in you.